If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I'll tell you right now, we've got pushing 250 votes on the YouTube live chat poll today, and it's a kind of a close one again. We've had close YouTube polls lately. Y'all are a little bit more divided than you usually are, so let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll if you think that President Trump is one way or another off course on the Epstein issue. I wanted to play, this is kind of funny. This is Miranda Devine interviewing Speaker Johnson on Podforce One's podcast here. And they're talking, of course, about the accomplishments of the Big Beautiful Bill.
Amazing.
But listen to Speaker Johnson here.
Can you do one for us?
No, yeah. I just hear his voice in my head when I'm relaying a conversation we've had. It comes out in his voice, you know? And, yeah.
What did he say to you about the one Big Beautiful Bill? Was there something...
quick story. So when we named it, we were in the Oval Office. We were sitting in front of the Resolute desk. He's at the desk, and Thune was here, and Jason Smith, the Ways and Means Chair, and I think JD was there, and other staffers. And the president said, "What are we going to name? What are we going to call it?" And Jason Smith says, "Well, Sarah, we got a few great options. You know, these are clever acronyms." He goes, "No, I just think we call it the One Big Beautiful Bill. Don't you think? Don't you think that's great? That's so simple. It's great, you know." And he passed it around to us on a piece of paper in big bold font, "One Big Beautiful Bill." And he goes, "Now, can we put an exclamation point?" I said, "Sir, no, we can't do an exclamation point. That's not a thing in legislation, you know."
Exclamation points are not a thing in legislation. Speaker Johnson, does he not look like he would be? I'm not saying this in a rude way, Speaker. You don't look like you've got more personality than your presentation.
Oh, 100%.
How do I say that in a respectful way?
That's not me.
I'm complimenting him. He looks super put together. He looks like he is the guy.
Here. He looked like he was like the smartest guy in class.
Well, I was gonna say like the guy who volunteers to be the accountant for your church.
He was the valedictorian, no doubt about that.
He just has skills. He's super smart. Everybody knows it. He doesn't seem like he's a flamethrower or anything. He's dependable. He's reliable. You don't think he's gonna be the life of the party? And then there he is, hand gestures and all, doing what I would call at least a B plus Donald Trump impersonation.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Is he the first like politician of that level to do one? He might be, that I've heard at least. I can't think of anyone else.
I don't know.
You got to be pretty cool with Donald Trump to be able to, yeah, to do an impersonation.
When you walk in, because the speaker would be one of the people who does have the audience with the president with some regularity. President Trump sees that and he's going to go, "Mike.
That's pretty good."
Good. It's the hand gestures for me. Our poll is ticking up here. President Trump off course on the Epstein issue. Yes or no? Let's get to your thoughts real quick, Brad, on we've covered it a lot today.
Yeah.
And we did take phone calls in the first hour. I wanted to get y'all's opinion on this and get it on record. We had people on both sides of the aisle, people on multiple sides of the issue. But Brad, where do you land?
I land on yes on this, but it's not that. Like, you've made some really great points. I really just don't like his messaging at the end. Like, so he's like, there could be some false information in there. We think that there's false information in there. They've given a lot of reasons why they can't release it. We want to protect people whose names are on this that shouldn't be on this or stuff like that. We want to protect the victims. But the messaging, like the just forget about it, why is everybody talking about it? That's where I think he's getting off course. I don't think that's the right path to take on this. I think explaining their position on it, we had these ideas. You know, even if it was like we looked at this and I think Bongino said stuff like this. We looked at this and some of this information, some of these speculations that we have simply aren't true. I do think that that is an absolute possibility in this situation. I think that in the absence of evidence, our minds have run wild in a lot of this stuff. So I think that maybe some of the stuff that we think was going on, maybe not. Who knows? But
what we know factually is enough.
Right.
It's not like there's a question about what Epstein was in jail. Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail. So it's not like we're like, maybe Epstein was a good
guy. No, not that. But like things like he had a list and there's obvious evidence with all these people that we suspect on this list. I don't know how accurate that is. You've made this point too, that sometimes, like, why would the Biden administration not release it if Trump was on it? But why would they let it exist if there were friends and allies on it that they wanted to protect? Like, if they had the opportunity to destroy this list and get rid of any of that evidence, they absolutely 100% would have. I don't think that they would just leave it sitting in a dusty box in the basement somewhere so that the next administration that wants to expose it will have it out there.
Do you have any thoughts on this, Ethan?
You know, I think that I agree with Brad to the extent that I was a little bit surprised to see him kind of shut down the questioning mm-hmm. that was brought up. Was that this week or was that last week?
Last week at the cabinet meeting.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised. I guess I understand it because I think probably in the president's mind, there's just more important things going on. Just with the state of, I guess there's of multiple different areas of government right now and the things that they're doing. I understand the whole, like, why is this what is getting attention? But that's what the people are asking about, you know? So, I mean, it's something that I thought it was going to be released relatively quickly, and then it kind of got dragged out, and then there was kind of play on words. It's just been a really weird handling as a whole, and it's kind of been opposite of what this administration has been about. It feels like this administration's been very straightforward and to the point with a lot of the different things that they're doing. I'm not saying there isn't a purpose behind the way that Trump's going about this, but the way in which it is different and unique does make me kind of say, huh, I wonder if there's more behind the scenes of what they're just saying.
You know, Ethan, to that point, I feel like what this administration has been up to this point is incredibly connected to the people who sent Donald Trump back to the Oval Office.
I would agree.
Mm-hmm. You've got a mandate. You said what you're going to do. And the people said, you got it. Go do it. Today on Trump's True Social, this is what he posted. With maybe just one slight bleep that I will, yes, definitely at least one. The radical left Democrats have hit pay dirt again. Just like with the fake and fully discredited Steele dossier, the lying 51 intelligence agents, the laptop from hell, which the Dems swore had come from Russia. No, it came from Hunter Biden's bathroom. That's weird. And even the Russia scam itself, a totally fake and made-up story used in order to hide crooked Hillary Clinton's big made-up story, big loss in the 2016 presidential election. These scams and hoaxes are all the Democrats are good at. It's all they have. They are no good at governing, no good at policy, and no good at picking winning candidates. Also, unlike Republicans, they stick together like glue. Their new scam is what we will forever call the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. And my, all caps, past supporters have bought into this, in quotations, bull sugar. Hook, line, and sinker. They haven't learned their lesson, and they probably never will, even after being conned by the lunatic left for 8 long years. I have had more success in 6 months than perhaps any president in our country's history. And all these people want to talk about, with strong prodding by the fake news and the success-starved Dems, is the Jeffrey Epstein hoax. Let these weaklings continue forward and do the Democrats' work. Don't even think about talking of our incredible and unprecedented success. Because I don't want their support anymore. Thank you again. Thank you for your attention to this matter. Make America great again. This is where this poll becomes a yes for me. I am separating in my mind what the administration is doing with what they are saying. And I'm just thinking to myself, you didn't have to put that post out there. You could think it. You can say it in your inner circles. You can say, why are they beating me up on this thing? Why don't they trust me? They've trusted me on everything else. Why all of a sudden is what I'm doing on this not good enough for them? You can have all of those thoughts, all those feelings. You can share them with your circle. But why are you saying this? In my opinion, the last third of his message there is a frustration that people are focusing on the Epstein files, the Epstein story, and not focusing on his success, whether the success is already accomplished or we are in pursuit of it in a whole host of different areas. There's a ton of success to talk about. He is frustrated that the Epstein story is taking up even an ounce of oxygen from the things that this president and his administration have done positively. I understand the frustration. I don't think you get to talk to your, you know, former supporters. He says past supporters. It's just a stupid comment to make. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is the way Donald Trump has been since the escalator. He says what he thinks. He says it the way he thinks. And we have the right to go, this isn't for me. This seems like a misstep. Or maybe he's fully confident that this is the way he wants to handle it. And we have the right to say, that's just not for me. You can criticize it. Why can we not criticize something and still go, I support like the things that this president is doing, the direction that he's taking the economy, the security of this country, the protection of this country, American strength globally respected around the world. Hugely, hugely on board with what this president is doing. Do I think that this statement is dumb? I do. And I'm not afraid to say that. And I don't. If I were in the presence of Donald Trump and he asked me the question, Annie, what do you feel about this statement? I would say, if your true concern here is that this story is taking up more news time, more focus, more energy, if the Epstein files are taking up more space than you want them to, all this story is going to do, all this post is going to do, is double that amount of time that it's taking up our conversation about, like, just don't comment on it. Let it go. Make like Elsa. Let it go. But don't sing like Idina Menzel. I can't handle that voice. Oh my gosh. Nothing that President Trump is saying about this, he's got people in charge. He's got Kash Patel. He's got Dan Bongino. He's got Pam Bondi. Their job is to face the press, to answer the questions, to do the work and to represent their work when they face the media. Let them do it. He's stepping in into the middle of the conversation, inserting himself into the middle of the conversation when he doesn't have to. That's why it's a big story. And if he asked me my opinion on it, and I thought he really wanted it, that's what I would say. And all of this to say, I actually think the president and his administration are probably doing a good job with the Epstein stuff. I trust them to do what's right. I don't have a mistrust. I'm not sitting here thinking that they're trying to hide anything. I want the truth to be exposed. I've always wanted the truth to be exposed. I've always been prepared for when the truth is actually exposed, that it doesn't, you know, stop the world from turning on its axis like a lot of people think it is going to do. I'm prepared for that to happen. I don't know what's there. I can't pretend that I do. I wouldn't lie to you and suggest that I have any sort of inside information. All I can think about is President Trump, if you want people to stop talking about it, then stop talking about it. That's just me. You go vote on the YouTube poll. Love to hear what you have to think about this. Local news and sports with Ethan. We'll see what Ryan named it today. Granted, this week's segments are all named by listeners. And yesterday, you were very pleased.
I was.
You
yes.
were.
They all run together. I
what was it?
Forgot.
How you doing in the city? What?
Hannaford's How We Doing in the
How
City.
How We Doing
yeah,
in
right.
the City. I liked it. What's next with Ethan locally? We'll be right back.
Sports and local.
Ethan's region.
What? Region?
I absolutely love that one. Give me the bell.
Give you the bell.
Ethan's right. region. Sports and local, Ethan's region.
Ryan that might, Friday.
That might be the first one that sounded normal.
Okay.
Ethan's region.
Ryan is loving his trip with his family. I'm
I would
sure.
like to know. Who created these? Like, whose ideas these were?
They're listener ideas. If you wanna name Ethan's local sports and news, local news and sports, you can tweet at Radio Wiggins or at Echan with two N's, 7.
Mm-hmm.
Echan 7.
Now, we had a bunch of people send ideas in the chat yesterday, and I passed all of them along
Perfect.
To Ryan Wiggins.
I'm sure
And
he'll
someone
love it.
Just sent another one. So
there you go. What do you got for us, Dave?
Last night was the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Brendan Donovan was the lone representative for the St. Louis Cardinals. And Donnie, boy, he did us proud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Donnie yeah. boy.
He came in I think the fourth or the fifth inning. He played the rest of the game. And he was
what position?
Second base. He was the only All-Star to have two hits.
Dang right he is.
Only one. Only ones. He had an infield single, scored a run about midway through the game on a Pete Alonso three-run home run. And then he had a little bloop single later in the game as well. Only All-Star with two hits. And it's actually pretty funny. There was a lot of things last night. Like, if the home run derby was actually just the good piece of hitting derby, like, he'd be Barry Bonds. There was a lot of that. And I saw this tweet with that caption. And they had Dave Roberts, the manager of the NL team, mic'd up when this was happening. They talked to him. And as he gets his second hit, he goes, man, that's a good piece of hit. I thought it was so funny.
I want to create a shirt for travel baseball parents. And I want it to have, I want it to be like a bingo card or a checklist where you put all the phrases, the baseball phrases in there.
Yeah.
I'm way too cynical about these things because I know people are just having fun. You're just, everybody's out there just trying to encourage. Folks, do a job. Yes, we know we need to do a job. Everybody needs to do their job. But it's like your kid cannot be successful until, come on now, kid, do a job.
Hey, what you say now, kid?
Oh,
yeah.
But that's kind of even like an oldie but a goodie.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even.
We were doing that when I was in fourth grade.
Now, one of my, I think, I don't know if they heard this from another team and now they're doing it, but one of the teams my kids plays on, if somebody, and I mean like kids are getting hit by pitches. There's somebody getting hit by pitch every game. Sometimes more than others, whatever. But like if our kid gets hit or gets close to being hit, somebody yells from the dugout, he's my friend! Like, then what?
Do you ever watch Benchwarmers?
No. Should I?
I think it's a pretty funny movie. Yes. There, we started my senior year of high school. We were just absolutely clowning all season long. We all bleached our hair, so our whole phrase was unleash the bleach, and we would just yell out random quotes from Benchwarmers.
Yeah.
And that we had a lot of fun in the senior year. But anyway, Brendan Donovan, fun game, and it had great finish.
Who
as
won?
Well. The National League won.
Dang!
Only their second All-Star Game win in the last 12 years.
Gosh, it's a shame the All-Star Game doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's not a shame. It's not a shame.
It's not a shame. It used to mean something, and thank the Lord it doesn't anymore.
Yes.
So, but the way in which this game ended was a first for Major League Baseball. Last night, going into extra innings.
Tied in the ninth?
It was tied.
Tied what?
6-6. The NL was actually winning this game 6-0.
So we tried to throw it away.
And the American League came back. They tied it in the ninth inning. And I was thinking, all right, we're going to go to extra innings. Nope. New rule, genius rule. Mm-hmm. There was a home run contest to end the game. Each team got three hitters.
Did they have to put their forehead on a bat and spin around three times before they got to swing?
No, they didn't. That would have been fun.
That should be like extras.
Annie, hitting a home run is hard enough as is.
No, it's not for these guys.
So they each had three swings, and it was who can hit more home runs.
Every player?
Three players. You select three players from each team. So
who pitches?
Just a batting practice guy.
So you're throwing lobs.
Correct. It's literally like a mini home run derby to finish the game.
Super fun.
And the National League won 4-3. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun way to end it. And Kyle Schwarber was the MVP because he hit three home runs in his three swings. It was kind of funny. People were last night saying, well, the All-Star Game MVP had no hits.
Some extra inning good piece of hitting.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I think when I went to see the Cardinals play the Cubs at Wrigley last, I think Schwarber hit three home runs. It was like, why are we pitching to this guy? But everybody hits
home runs.
That
dude hits bombs. He absolutely wrecked us about 10 years ago in the postseason. Don't want to talk about that. It's fine. So, you know, I saw something. We just had Senator Eric Schmidt on not that long ago.
Yeah.
I wish that we would have done this segment or had him on after, because apparently him and Congressman Wesley Bell just partnered up to create their own custom beer.
Together?
You heard about this?
Bipartisan beer?
Bipartisan beer. Schmidt and Bell visited Anheuser-Busch.
Is that what it's called? Schmittenbell? Because it could be.
I think we have something
I'll
there.
Have a Schmittenbell.
I think you need to DM him on Twitter right now.
Schmittenbell.
With a name idea, because that sounds pretty awesome.
Nice and German.
Sounds like a beer. It does. Would you like some Schmittenbell?
We'll leave that part out.
Schmittenbell Amberbach.
They visited Anheuser-Busch to create their own beer for the upcoming Brews Across America event, which is put on by Anheuser-Busch. It's a bipartisan event that was launched back in 2017, annual competition in which congressional duos compete against each other for the Brew Democracy Cup. So the judging, I guess, will take place in Washington, D.C. this fall, but they used all Missouri ingredients to
drink a bunch of alcohol, make some decisions.
To create their own beer.
Just like a Tuesday. Schmittenbell. Yikes. Do we know what it's called?
We do not. That's
I think
only,
we do.
That's the only, well, I think we have an idea, but we do not know what it's called. We do not know what kind of beer that they made. But I would be curious, next time we have Senator Schmidt on, to get some information on this beer, because I'm intrigued.
Hmm. Or Wesley Bell. Beer.
Yeah.
He's come on our show.
Or Wesley Bell, yes,
he
has.
It's time to have him back.
I agree.
Yep.
We need to get the people the answers, Annie.
Brad, you don't drink.
No.
Brad's not a drinker. Ethan, you drink all the time.
Not all the time. He's like an alcoholic. Holy cow. Jeez.
Hey, you're in the Wiggins chair. I get to do whatever
all
I want.
The time. I enjoy an
you know,
occasional
this
beverage.
Would be more effective if you didn't have your vodka in your hand right now.
You're right. That's on me. My bad.
Do you drink beer?
Yeah.
Do you still like beer?
Yeah. I'm not a huge... I like craft beer.
Do you know
more.
Who Brett Kavanaugh is? He's a Supreme Court Justice.
I do.
Do you remember when he was being confirmed? Do you remember when...
Oh, I remember
all remember
that
when,
stuff.
Because this would have been...
I was like 16, 17.
I was going to say, were you in high school?
That was the... what was the movement?
Me Too?
Me Too, yes. Mm-hmm. I remember all that. Yeah, we had conversations in like English class and all that about that. Yeah.
Were they good conversations?
You know, it's I'm trying to recall because I think that, you know, I have been around, unfortunately, like some people very close to me that have endured some sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So I have ever since then, I have seen it from a completely different point of view.
It's real.
than I had prior to. So honestly, it's hard to because my point of view on it has shifted in a lot of ways. So I feel like back then, I was a 16-year-old kid, and I probably didn't have a great view on it. I had a view of like, I don't even know how to describe it. It probably wasn't like a very fair view as a young kid, and not having enough knowledge. And I feel like I'm way more like well balanced on it now. So it could have been a much better conversation than I thought it was in the moment. But I was kind of like, I don't really know about this. I don't know what to think about it.
I would also say though that to your point that understanding, being on this side of knowing the reality of Me Too situations, that you would want even more so for people to not take advantage.
Absolutely.
Of the fact that exists in order to try to gain some sort of political...
Absolutely. That is the part of it that is 100% correct. I think that, in the time, right, I can't recall if, you know, we were being encouraged to blindly believe all. But I can tell you this much. It's not as simple as the only people that have endured sexual abuse are the ones that have, you know, gone through court and people have been convicted.
No.
Because that is a very, very small number of the people.
Many people don't even bring it up because they know that they won't be heard.
It's the smallest percentage. So it is not as simple as a black and white conversation. That's why that's what makes it so difficult.
Well, so the beer, it's a Wesley Bell and it's Eric Schmidt have partnered together. I wonder how much they actually are like making decisions versus just like, okay,
kind of
we'll
do the thing instead of it like being created by whoever.
Yeah. Interesting. One more story before we break here.
Yeah, let's do one more story, shall we? So this is a pretty important week for Missouri when it comes to facing deadlines regarding the sports betting launch, preparing for the December 1st launch of legalized sports betting. And since July 3rd, the Missouri Gaming Commission has opened up a public comment period, which is allowing consumers to provide feedback online about the sports betting regulations that were passed in June. These regulations will determine how sports betting is operated throughout the states. And according to the Missouri Gaming Commission, the deadline for the public to weigh in on these rules is Wednesday. It's coming up later tonight is the deadline. And then tomorrow at 10 o'clock, the offices, the Missouri Gaming Commission offices in Jefferson City, are going to be holding a hearing allowing for consumers to voice their thoughts on an even more important topic, the licenses and how they're going to be handled. So I'm going to be curious to see some of those opinions shared will look like. What we do know, according to Bet Missouri, the MGC's model includes two direct mobile standalone licenses with three operators, which are BetMGM, DraftKings, and Underdog. So it'll be interesting to see the direction this goes.
Do you bet on sports at all?
I do not. I have before. Like, I went to Vegas a couple years ago, and I put a couple down just for fun, but I do not regularly do it, no.
And Brad, you're not a sports bettor, are you?
Nah, I can't stand the thought of losing money.
That's kind of where I am. I'm not in the state of life where I can just afford to put money up and just
to throw it away. I hope I'm never really in that position, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you were talking about in Wiggins America earlier. Yeah. So there are things that Gen Xers did. The Gen Z is like, what? Why would you even do that?
Correct.
And we didn't get to the whole list, so Ethan's going to brief us on that when we come back. Don't go away. Back to the Andy Fry Show. You are a Gen Zer, Ethan.
Sure am.
Brad and I are millennials, and Ryan Wiggins is of the greatest generation.
Baby boomers.
The lost generation.
Is that the baby boomers?
The greatest generation created the boomers.
Oh. We've talked about this before. I don't know generations. You're the one, I think, that told me I was Gen Z.
Sorry to break it to you. Ethan, you're going to need to sit down.
Damn it.
I need to tell you something.
God,
Gen Zer. I was thinking about I might do that on Friday as a poll. For people who are listening to weigh in and represent, what generation are you? I wonder what the breakdown of our audience is. At least, again, very scientific polls that we do here on the Andy Fry Show. If you choose to participate or listen to the badgering of Ethan, who says, what are you doing? Vote in the poll!
God. Freaking goons.
Yeah. This is really great on audience retention.
We love you all. Please listen
just
to our show.
Them
Ethan's rage.
I'm just doing my part, filling in for Ryan Wiggins. I'm just trying to take this from a "what would Ryan Wiggins say" kind of thing.
The first thing that comes to his brain.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that.
He doesn't have a filter.
How's that going?
Wiggins America at 12. Well, we did it later.
We did
today.
It at 1.
We did it later because I took your phone calls today.
150
something ish. You were talking about things that Gen Z really can't believe Gen X did.
Mm-hmm.
Can you recap where you started and we'll finish the list?
Absolutely recap. So we got through a couple. The first one was be home when the street lights turn on. The second, respect for elders and is non-negotiable. And I said that this one isn't black and white necessarily, because I think that some of these aren't necessarily bad things either. And I think this one's kind of in the middle, right? Where you can, I think to a certain extent, stand up for yourself and still be respectful. And I think that for a long time, it's kind of just been a blind argument of like, no, you sit there and you take it.
There used to be very definitive lines in age, like generationally, respecting your elders. That used to be super definitive. And now we have, I think we snap back a little bit to reality with parents who understand how harmful it can be if you prioritize being your kid's friend over their parent.
You think so?
Yes. I think if you are your child's parent, one day you can be their friend. But if you are only your child's friend, you will miss the opportunity to be their parent and then the world to get a hold of them.
You know, I feel like
bleak.
I feel like I'm just now getting to enter into the phase where I'm becoming friends with my parents.
Do they like you?
I hate it. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's pretty awesome. I love it. I really do enjoy it.
How long is that like post-marriage?
No, it's probably more post-college, but it's post-marriage, I think, was another step of it because it's a whole new level of independency.
So your parents like you. They like who you've become.
Yeah, I think so.
Of course they do.
My dad says I need to work out more, but besides that, I think I do a pretty good job.
What a good dad. See, yeah. He's your friend, but he's also still your parent.
Yeah, he's like, then get up in the morning. If you sleep for 5 hours, you sleep for 5 hours. That's mm-hmm. what he says. He's not wrong.
Does yeah. your is your dad like his parents? Does he come by it honestly? Is there a long line of like Hannaford tough love? Is your dad a tough lover?
Yes. He's not entirely like his parents. I think he does like model some things, mm-hmm. but yeah, there is, I think, a similar to his dad, a like be straight up.
Okay. I'm going to ask this is
call it how it is.
This is a bold question to ask you without prefacing the question off air. Do you think you'd be a lot like your dad as a dad? Would you want to be?
In a lot of ways, yes. And I think I will probably be very similar to him in a lot of ways.
Do you...
Like, my dad wasn't perfect, right? There's things I could say, like, yeah, I'd maybe seeing it from this side, I would like to do that better or that
little
better.
None of us parents are perfect. We're doing the best we can most of the time. Well, we're, you know, a lot of it is make it up as you go.
What would Ryan say if he was sitting in this chair right now?
That he's perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I do think...
Point that out.
Do you want to have a kid like you?
In some ways.
I
look back
I
at
have
my
a
middle
kid
school
who is
self,
like me, and I'm always like, little girl, I wrote the book, so I know the game. You better play it smart.
I look back at myself when I was in middle school. I was like, God, why? No wonder no one liked you. You're so annoying. You were so annoying. You just talked all the time. You liked Gangnam Style. Like it was bad.
I just saw, I think it was it 13 years ago? Yesterday was the anniversary of that song.
Really?
I think so.
So my brother-in-law knows that I am super embarrassed of that time in my life. And he had the DJ play it at my wedding in front of everyone. It.
Oop, oop, oop.
And then I basically got forced to do it.
The Korean oop.
It was terrible. It was scarring. I hated it.
Amazing.
But here we are talking about
here
it.
Here we are. Great Should time. I do one of these before we go to a break real quick? Okay. The next one, handwritten thank you notes. Mm. This is completely lost. No one does this anymore, I feel like. And I kind of agree with what this is getting at. I think there is something behind handwritten thank you notes that there is. This says a stronger emotional connection than digital messages or texts. And I agree, because it takes more time. Do you always have time? No, but I think that's why it means more. And man, I think if you would ask most people my age, or even like in the last 5 years below me, very few people
what about
usually do this.
A thank you note that is written to you and is an acknowledgement that you went to a thing or provided a gift to an event that would traditionally have gifts. And there's nothing in the thank you note that is personal to you.
This is a great question.
The thank
then
you
it's
note,
pointless.
The thank you note that could be written, you could write the exact same thing and change, you know, dear Ethan. And then you say, you know, thank you for coming to my wedding celebration. It was so great to spend that special day with us. We appreciate you.
There has to be at least one sentence in there that's is specified
you.
To you.
Would you, I mean... I feel like, and I don't, I think if you're sending that note, you still get credit mm-hmm. of some kind for like taking the time to send it.
For sure.
But I also don't need that on the receiving end. Like,
agreed.
I don't need to have a note that you weren't like, I can't wait to tell this person how grateful I am for this specific thing. So I feel like there are instances in my life where I would be compelled to write that thank you note. Now, I don't really have any events coming up in my life where I'm going to have a bunch of people get together and give me things. Those are all done in my life. But I just think to myself, like, the handwritten note to me, that has to feel like it was special for you to write it and take the time to send it to me, not like it was a task that you had to go through.
Agreed. Ron commenting saying, a generic Hallmark card for any occasion without a personal note is worthless in my opinion. I agree. I also like Quick Rick's comment that says, thank you for the wonderful cheese slicer.
Yeah. Just write the first line, go to the list.
And then everything is
Ethan,
everything else
cheese
is
slicer, write it in there.
Everything else is script.
Yeah. 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 But still, if you're writing the handwritten notes, lost art. Still get a little credit for that, but
100%.
I'm also like, I care about you enough that you didn't have to do that.
That's fair.
the poll results when we come back. Is President Trump off course on the Epstein issue? Stay tuned. You're going to want to hear these. We'll be right back.
You're asking the wrong person.
Do you know what Robert Zoidis is?
This.
Do you know the song?
I've heard this part, but I wouldn't be able to tell if it was 15.
The
I feel
reason,
like I'm interrupting something.
The reason to know this song is because of the wedding singer when the old lady talks, sings it while she's holding meatballs or something.
What movie?
The Wedding Singer?
That's a movie?
Sorry. Oh, man.
This one is of your lifetime.
Sorry.
You just broke Annie's heart.
Have you seen Spaceballs yet?
What time is it? 2:53. We got 3 minutes. I just got to fill for 3 minutes.
We had homework. We said by Friday we were going to watch these movies.
I know. Listen, here's the thing.
I also have not watched The Godfather
yet. I was really lazy in school. I should have told you that. So you shouldn't have expected me to do my homework.
We can kind of tell.
We'll watch The Breakfast Club tonight.
You're in the Ryan Wagon seat. You are not a lazy person. We, on the show, were discussing the different of parts of this have come up over the course of different conversations on air, and we've talked about it off air. Of course, the fact that you were born in what year?
2000.
2000, that's what I thought. So, Ethan is a child of the millennium, post Y2K.
Heck yeah.
Do you know what Y2K is?
Yeah. I'm a Y2K baby.
Do you know
born in September.
Do, you know,
do some math.
Do you know what Y2K, like, what that was?
Year 2000.
Okay,
it's
he
like
doesn't
the
know.
Turn the clock.
He doesn't
know. It's a big old new century.
Brad,
I know.
Yeah,
nothing.
There was all sorts of concerns that the world was going to end because of computer glitches and like planes were going to fall out of the sky. And you
wait,
better
really?
Have
really?
Yes. See, you don't know. Y2K was the
like
idea that computer programs were built with the understanding that the year was a 19 something, and nobody knew when the year clicked over to 2000, like. What would happen?
You know what that
And you know what? It was wild. Everybody, it was, we're going to party like it's 1999. It was December 30th. We're all watching and everybody was nervous and nothing happened.
I imagine this is probably what Native Americans were like when there was a solar eclipse.
The
like
Mayans.
It just all of a sudden goes dark out and they're like, what's happening?
Maybe
what are we going to die?
2012. Maybe this it was 2112.
This is the modern version of that.
Yeah. Y2K. I think it's nice that you've heard of the numbers and letters, but it was
I have.
Scary.
Usually with a hashtag before it, I feel like.
Yes. Hashtag. Well, no, we didn't have hashtags.
We didn't do hashtags.
No, that's called the pound sign. And you use the pound sign.
I do know what that is.
To finish your voicemail or something.
Is that what you did? You don't have to do that now.
Pound or hang up.
The movie that you need to watch is Spaceballs. The movie that you're going to watch, Brad?
The Breakfast Club.
Never seen it?
Never seen it.
Shame I've never seen you. The Godfather. And what did Brian say he had never seen?
Ooh.
I told him Top Gun, because he's never seen the original Top Gun. I think he might have said something else, too. So we'll have to watch these movies that everybody but us have seen and report on them, probably around Friday. The YouTube live chat poll for today is President Trump off course on the Epstein issue? I say a reluctant yes, but only in messaging. I have no idea if he's off course in the actual administration of it. Brad, your answer to this, yes or no?
I'm yes, because they're not handling it.
Ethan?
I am a yes as well. 279 votes on the YouTube live chat poll. Is President Trump off course on the Epstein issue? 59% say yes. 41% say no.
Another close one. We'll see what he's doing. There are a lot of theories out there. I'm reading all of them. I love them. Keep them coming to me on X at Annie Fry Show and keep it here on the Odyssey app or 97.1 FM Talk for the Mark Reardon Show next.